Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. You may want to just go ahead and press.
The host would like you to unmute your
Facebook
microphone.
Okay,
you can press star 6 to unmute.
Hi, this is Ann McMill, the master builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. We are very excited again today to bring you another phenomenal My Investing Story. My host, Ione McMill, and myself are always excited to talk about money. Are you interested in money? How about investing? Well, as volunteers of Better Investing, we are bringing you individual investors' stories. And today, we have another special guest. But before we talk about our special guest, let's talk a little bit about who we are, what we do, and who we're not. As volunteers with Better Investing, we are not financial advisors, so I want to make sure that's very clear. We're not day traders. We are members of the South Florida chapter of Better Investing, which covers the Gold Coast of Florida and the Treasure Coast. This organization has helped over 5 million investors learn how to analyze stocks and how to invest. Regular people just like us. And as a part of our South Florida chapter, we're also in the process of starting a model investment club. And if you're interested, you can put your information in the chat and let us hear from you about learning more about that. We currently host our events online and our classes online, but we're physically located in the Florida, Fort Lauderdale area. But as we develop these programs and as we bring you individual investors and individual organizations talking about investing and financial empowerment, we want to have you engage with us. So let's get to why we're here today. And the reason we're here today is to talk with Ms. Constance Albert, and we'll have her share a little bit about herself. But Constance has worked with Bank of Greater Milwaukee since 2017, and her work connects consumers to safe and affordable banking products. She's certified as meeting, and Ms. Constance, you're going to have to help us with the CFENAS standards. And if you could come on, first of all, welcome to the program, but you can share with us a little bit about how did you get here. Ione McMill is going to ask her pertinent questions about your early beginning. But before we jump into your job and your bank information, if you can share with us a little bit about your investing journey and what brings you to the Bank of Greater Milwaukee, and welcome to My Investing Story.
Well, thank you very, very much for allowing me to come in and to talk. I'm extremely excited about having this conversation. So your question was, you know, why did you do it and how? And so I'm a mom of 4 grown children and 18 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. And so because my brood, my legacy is growing, I decided we really need to have some type of way to be. And so that's pretty much how I looked at it. How can I help my children and my children's children's children build wealth? And so as an adult, I didn't really think a lot about retirement or investing or things like that. So what really started me to think are my children and their children and their children. So we started just looking at things that would help them to grow. Because, again, I want to make sure we leave a legacy for our kids and their kids and their kids. And so that's how I initially started.
All right. Over to you, Ione.
Well, thank you. So, Ms. Constance, one of the first questions we always ask our guests is what's your earliest memories of money?
My earliest memories of money. Well, I am the baby of the family. and I always, and my mom had 9 kids, and I always tell people that my mom had to do 9 until she got the perfect kid, which of course is me. And being the youngest, my mom never drove, never owned a home, none of those things. So my first ideal of money was really seeing my mom sit down and figure out how to pay the bills on making $2 an hour for working 8 hours a day. And so
could you just repeat that for some millennials and other people that really don't understand where, you know, our parents and grandparents came from?
Yeah, my mother was a single parent, and back when I'm a 60 baby, I'm almost 60 years old. So my mom had me when she was 32. And so my mom worked for $2 an hour in a hospital, $2 an hour. We can't even think about what that means. But as she was working for $2 an hour, that's how we survived. We didn't survive with government care or anything like that. So my mom and I grew up in Chicago. I grew up in the projects. I lived in the high rise in the projects. And so watching my mom sit down at the table to figure out how to pay the rent, how to pay the utilities. She didn't drive, so, you know, how to get food on the table. And my mom never used credit, always used cash. And if it wasn't cash, she would put it on the layaway. And I don't even know if people know what the layaway is.
Yes,
it's not the toys.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't toys that she was putting on the layaway. It was clothes. So that's my first really understanding of the value of not only working and paying bills, but the fact that you really do need to be able to survive.
Did you hit mute?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't coming through. The last part we heard was the learning the value of working.
Right. Learning the value of working and paying your bills on time. And she taught me not to go into debt. Didn't say I didn't, but that was something she taught me. I didn't say I followed it, but that is something she taught me.
So it seems like it's really safe to say that your mom, just by watching her and live day to day and plan out the family finances with her income and taking care of 9 kids, she led the way, and you learned by watching her. Even more so maybe than her talking you through what she was doing.
Right. I tell people that all the time, that our kids may not necessarily listen to what we say, but they will watch what we do. And so that's always been extremely important to me. So as my children have grown up, I've tried to do both, teach them and show them at the same time.
Well, nice. So after, you know, I'm going to say subconsciously watching your mom make do with $2 an hour, 8 hour a day job, working in the hospital. When did you get your first job and start to build your own money habits?
I started working when I was 14 years old. I had my first child when I was 14 years old. Right. By the time I graduated from high school, I had 2 children. And I graduated from high school. I moved away and got on my own. So that was my really first experience with taking care of my family, my kids. And I didn't drive either until I was 24 years old. So being able to do that and pay bills on time, which was difficult because I knew they were supposed to get paid, but I really didn't understand how all that worked, you know? So that was interesting. Going to college, working, dropping out of college, saying, I can't afford to go to school. I have 2 kids that I have to take care of. So that was how it all started for me.
Now, isn't it also true that you bought your first house at 25?
I bought my very first house at 25. And I bought that because my mom never drove. She never had her own. And I never wanted to be put out of any place. Never wanted to be put out of any place. But I also wanted my kids to have their own. And that was extremely important to me. I've only rented, and I'm almost 60, I've only rented maybe 4-5 years out of my entire adult life have I been a renter, because I wanted my kids never to be put out, and I wanted them to have something that they could say, this is ours. You want to paint the room purple? Paint the room purple. Nobody's going to tell you you can't paint that room purple but me.
Yeah, I'm curious. Can you share with us what was the motivation at such an early age? And because we're talking to a lot of individuals who are going to be listening at all ages that may come from a similar background, and they will only hear your voice. Anything you'd like to share with them?
I think the most important thing to me is I wanted stability in my life. And being a young mother, 14, I had my second child when I was 17. And so hearing people say, well, this is the end of your life. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's over. It's done. It was really important to me for me to be able to say, I can still have a life. I can still be productive, and I can still do some things. I didn't go back to college until I was 40. I went back to college when I was 40. I got my BA. When I was 44, I got my master's. And those were things because I wanted my kids to know that even when you have a bump in the road, it does not mean that it's the end of your story. Your story is just different. It's not the end.
And I think you're tapping into why we are hosting this My Investing Story, because we want to share and show exactly what you're expressing. All of us have had bumps in the road. It's just some of us are willing to admit it. And our desire in hosting this show as volunteers of Better Investing is to open the world of saving and investing to any and everybody, regardless of what level you're at. And for those who may be joining a little late after we started the program, I just want to let you know that our special guest tonight that we're talking with is none other than, and Constance, we're going to get to the bank, but it's none other than Ms. Constance Albert. And she was sharing about the fact that as she was growing up, her mom had 9 kids, but she made $2 an hour. And so to bring that full force and to the present, she's sharing her investing story about where she is now. And so, Constance, if you can just, you know, take us from the degree to what is motivating you now for the work you're doing at the Bank of Greater Milwaukee.
So Bank of Greater Milwaukee is a coalition. It's a movement. And it's a movement to deal with the fact that in Milwaukee, there are over 31% of individuals who are either unbanked, which means they have no relationship with a financial institution at all, or underbanked, which means that they may have a checking account, and what they do is they cash their check, and that's it. And so when you're looking at an unbanked person, they're doing things like check cashing places. In my day, they would call cashier's joint, you know, corner stores. And so what you have is that most people, if you have your money in your pocket, you're going to spend the money in your pocket. You don't have that opportunity to save. You don't even have that protection because, again, if you were to go to any check cashing place on a particular day, all you have to do is sit in the parking lot and you will be able to see old people, young people, black people, white people come out there with money in their pockets. That's not safe. And then the other thing, what happens when there's an emergency and you have not built a relationship with a financial institution? Now you are doing title loan places. Now you're doing high interest places because you don't have that relationship. So Bank on the Greater Milwaukee, our goal is to connect people with access to banks that there are no overdrafts, because don't nobody like spending more money than we have to, even though you do. But when you think about it, you don't. It also says, some banks says that, you know, you don't have to have a whole lot to keep in the account. And that's a lot of people saying, I don't have enough to maintain a bank account. So we have right now 9 organizations in the city of Milwaukee that offer certified accounts where people can get a bank account. You can do direct deposit. You don't have to have a lot to keep it open. The maintenance fee may be $5, but if you think about what you spend on a regular day, cashier checks, you can get a money order if you're still not comfortable having a checking account. And so that's what we do at Bank on a Greater Milwaukee. So my job is to connect people with financial institutions and then talk to financial institutions to say, do you have a product that will really benefit the people in the community where your bank is at?
Well, I will tell you, as one of those people that banked at one of those places for years as a small business, I am a witness, and I don't have a problem in sharing that story, because I think that there's so many of us, again, share about where we've come from. See, people see you where you are today, but they don't know your story. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, definitely. When you look at me, it looks different than where I came from. Because when I say I started driving when I was 25, I didn't say that's when I had my first car. I said I started driving when I was 25. So I had a car, but I couldn't drive it.
First
of all, you're supposed to have a license. You're supposed to have a license. Supposed to have insurance. You know, all those different things. But again, being a young parent and trying to figure out how to maneuver through life, and so being able to kind of understand what that looks like. When I said, you know, my mom always did everything cash. My mom never did anything credit. And she never trusts banks. My mom was almost 75 years old before she had her first savings account. I didn't say checking, savings account, because she did not trust financial institutions. And so you have a group of people who don't trust financial institutions, and then on top of that, they're teaching their kids not to trust financial institutions, not necessarily by their mouth, but by their actions.
Yeah. Well, back to you, Iona. We have a lot of guests that are chiming in on Facebook and also on Zoom. So we want to encourage you, if you have any questions for any of us, especially Constance, if you can put your questions in the chat. And especially if you're listening to us on our podcast on Blog Talk, please make sure that you press 1 on your dial and we'll have your question. But if you're on with us on Facebook or on Zoom, just please put your question in the chat and we will definitely get to your question. Ione?
Yeah, so I really wanted to go back to your investing story and how you got there. I know that we kind of left off at age 25. You have 2 young kids, probably both under 10, and you just bought your first house. What's the next kind of step? Because I know you said your mom, through her actions, taught you not to use credit, but that wasn't your story. So walk us through how you ended up, because I like the fact that you made it clear that being safe and secure and having stability was important and the motivating reason for you buying your first home. But what was your other money goals or money path? Over the next couple of years.
So by the time I bought my house at 24 and a half, almost 25, I had 3 kids by then. Okay. So by the time I was 21, I had 3 kids. by that time. And so, you know, having the kids and then, you know, being able to buy a vehicle, when you're looking at a mortgage, it's about credit. And so when I bought my house, it wasn't like you had to have so much money down or any of those things. I just knew I wanted a house. It may not have been a fancy house. I just knew I wanted a house. And so then after I got the house, my thing was, okay, let's get a banking relationship. So in case I want something, I went to a credit union. And I've been with that credit union for since I was 25. And right now I haven't been 25 in a while because my oldest grandchild is going to be 27 on Friday. So it's been a very long time since I was 25. And so I started the checking account there. All of my children, once they reach a certain age, had a checking account. And guess where they had it? At the credit union that their mom went to. And, again, looking at how do you get started. And so every job that I've had, I've taken advantage of the 401k, which is that matching savings. Now, that sounds good, right? Take care, you know, get that matching. Don't leave no money on the table. But no one told me, don't take that money out when you leave. Leave that money there. No one told me that. So I had to learn that's a savings mechanism and it's a tax liability when you take that money out. So I had to learn those things. I had to learn about taxes. I'm a tax accountant now because I like money. I like how it works. So I had to learn those things. So as I was learning about credit and budgeting, what I found is that people who don't have information, they make decisions that they may not have made if they would have had that information. Every job that I've had, it was because I wanted to know about homeownership. I wanted to know about credit. I wanted to know about banking. So every single job that I've taken since I was 19 years old has been in that framework. It's credit, financial literacy, education, budgeting, money. It's all been that because it wasn't something that was taught to me, and I had to figure it out as I went along. And, of course, when you do that, you're going to make some mistakes. So I had some credit issues. You know, I had some We Energy issues back in the day when it was Wisconsin Electric. So I had some of those issues. I had some of those phone issues. So those were things I had to learn how to do. And so what it made me do is, like, I need a savings account. I need to start saving some money so in case something happens. When I bought my house, I bought it on, like, the weekend of Easter. So that Good Friday, everything was closed. That Saturday, I had a drop ceiling. The toilet overflowed, and the ceiling dropped. So I'm 25. My ceiling just dropped. I barely know how to drive. What am I going to do? So, again, going through things that said you need an emergency fund. So I developed and started putting money into my house fund. So stuff happens to the house, I have a house fund. And so just as life has happened, oh, something happened to the car. I need a car fund. Oh, I just got some money from, you know, I don't know about everybody, but at one point in time, I did get child support. It's been so long ago, I barely remember what it was. But let's say that the child support was $150. I would take $50 and put that in an account someplace and only spend X amount of dollars. So, again, just learning how to do that and then looking at how do I invest for my babies. Totally blew that one. My oldest child is going to be 43. Totally blew that one. My baby's 37. Totally blew that one. But then I had grandkids. Like, oh, okay. Now let's do something different. let's kind of put money aside for them. Then I had great grants, which nobody asked me if I wanted those. But now that I have them, let's put some money to the side. But then I also teach my kids, this, you have to understand what this is. And just educating people, when my children started going to college, I went to the public library. I had them come and their friends, and we did the FAFSA together. We did the student loan together. We talked about, if you're going to school for this, this is the amount that you should take out, no more than that. And so having that conversation with them and having that conversation with their friends. So, again, it was always about, let me educate you. If you do something different, that's on you. But at least let me tell you what it is that I've learned. My son and I, my oldest and my only boy, call him my first man. My husband likes that, but he'll get over it. We went to high school. We went to, because I was a young mom, we went to school on the same bus as a young mom. We graduated from college 4 months apart. When he graduated from college, I graduated from college. So, again, even when things are bumpy, you can still make it happen.
Awesome.
I love the way that you you learn with your kids. I think that some parents, and you can probably speak to this with maybe some other people you know, I think some parents may feel paralyzed because they don't know and they feel that they need to know first before they can teach their kids. But I know one of the best things my mom ever did for me was to have me with her while she learned, you know, the things that you talked about. I don't know if it's shame or what, but I think it's an overlooked value to learn with your kids, because as you may know and can even speak to, because your kids don't have the kind of background or baggage that you have, they may be able to pick up on things that you probably didn't. And because you're learning together, it's kind of like learning with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely did that because, like I said, my oldest child is only 14 years shy. We're 14 years apart. That's all. You know, if you look at my kid, you're like, that's your kid? Like, yeah, that's my kid, because we're only 14 years apart. When my grandchildren were coming up, I would buy money games. And you know how some parents will play certain games? You go over Granny's house, we're going to play a money game. Not only Monopoly, yeah, that's cool, but let's talk about when you go to the grocery store. Let's play that game. And I still have that game today, that they sat down with their grandmother and we played that money game, and they still remember playing the money game with their grandmother. And now they have their own kids.
Can you share two things I want you to speak on? One, when did you first come into the knowledge of investing? Because, I mean, you are really, through your experiences, self-taught, are self-taught through trial and error, and putting yourself in positions, whether it be jobs and which started your career, of let me be in this space so I can be around this information, learn it, and use it for myself. When did you come into the knowledge of investing? When I say invest, I mean like investing in stocks or mutual funds. And also, how have you seen the fruits of your labor, the building a comfortable relationship with money that you've shared with your kids and really grandkids? How have you seen their life be different than, you know, kind of when you grew up, because of the exposure you gave them?
Okay. Well, when I first started looking at investing, is that very first time that I took out the money for the 401k. Because typically what they'll do is they'll send you the quarterly report. And you look at their quarterly report and you're looking at these things, you're like, what in the world? Who are these people? I don't even know who these people are. And where's that money going? I thought you said I had X amount of dollars, and when I see the report, I don't have it, and it's gone, and it's reduced. So it started me to start thinking, I need to know who these people are, what these companies are, and why you took my money. And so, again, it started me to thinking and saying, okay, I want to invest in this particular stock. So what I did is I went to see a financial planner and had the conversation and told them what my goal was. And so I started really small and investing really, really small. And then as my children started to grow, I wanted to do something a little bit more aggressive than I had when I was younger. I don't know why I waited until I was older to decide I wanted to be aggressive instead of being pulled back.
Can you share what age you decided to make that shift?
I would say when I was about 45.
Okay.
And that's been a while. 15
years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't been 45 in a long time. So, yeah, and so being able to say, you know, you keep seeing this 401k, you keep seeing all of these things, but you really don't know what it is that you're looking at. And so that's why I went to the financial planner. As a matter of fact, I even studied to be a financial planner, but because I wasn't good at driving and I can't see at night, I couldn't get to the school. I was like, I can't be out here in the dark. I'm going to run into something. And so I had to go to someone who knew more about it than I did. And so that's when I really started to do some investing. And the difference that it makes for my kids is that it's always a thought that, okay, mom says we should always have our own house. So now that I'm growing up, I need my own house. Oh, mom said that, you know, it's good to work for people, but that's not the goal. You need to be an entrepreneur. And so teaching them those things has been what's really been beneficial. So now they think about that. Oh, if I want to be an entrepreneur, my mom said that banks don't lend to new businesses unless you have a 2-year track record. So mom said that I probably shouldn't be taking all these deductions, or I shouldn't take this loan because it doesn't really benefit me. I shouldn't take this credit card because it's not doing anything for me. So being able to have those kind of conversations, and they will always come back. So now, you know, out of my 4 kids, one's deceased, but my other 3 children, they're entrepreneurs. They work a job, but one's a chef. She has a food truck. My oldest, he has a cleaning business. My other child, she's a motivational speaker for young people. And so they've always been thinking, how do I do something where I'm not dependent on a 9-to-5 job?
Wow, that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. And it's really nice to see, and thank you for sharing with us what your children do, because as you talked about generational wealth and leaving a legacy, it's always nice to see how one generation did the best that they could, mm-hmm. and the next generation picked up from the first generation to extend that. So to really connect your mother with, you know, $2 an hour and 9 kids to you, to, you know, your 3 kids, surviving kids, being all entrepreneurs, self-starters, initiators, and then having kids. Are any of your grandkids investing on their own or talking to you about, hey, grandma, I want this stock or that stock?
Yeah. And so what I've done with my grandchildren, because we all have to think that money is a very private thing. And if you keep it hush hush, no one's ever going to feel comfortable enough to have that conversation. And so I think what I've tried to do over the years is to talk about it so that they will talk about it. So one of my grandsons, he just turned 23. And so one of the things he wants to do is he wants to buy real estate. And he wants to be able to have real estate and those kind of things. So we've had this conversation that, okay, the three oldest grandchildren, why don't you guys start putting your money in a pot? And every time you get paid or you get X amount of dollars, put that in an account someplace so that when an opportunity presents itself, if there's a house to be bought, you guys, you have the cash to do it. I've talked to them about the 401k, making sure they're not leaving money on a table. But the other thing I said is, if you like these new gym shoes, whatever they may be, or this True Religion, let's go and see how they're performing. Let's look and see how True Religion is performing. Everybody's buying it, but True Religion is not performing well. So that's not where you're going to put your money. We want to look at what are your friends buying? Oh, is that what your friends are buying? Then let's go check out that stock to see if we want to dump some money in there. So when your friends are going to the mall and they're standing, you know, 10 deep, I want you to walk by them and say, oh, yeah, I think it's a good idea that you go buy that. Because when they buy, you win.
I like that phrase. When they buy, you win. We have a participant on. He and I talked earlier today, and he was given that same sentiment, just saying like, oh, my gosh, when I realized I could own stock, and every time, you know, I'm buying it or somebody else is buying the product, I'm making money. I mean, it was just amazing to see the light bulb go off for him. We have two questions in the chat that I want to speak briefly, ask you about. The first question is the money game that you play with your grandkids. Is that a game that you created? I think some people want access to that game.
No, it's not a game that I created. I found this because, again, I wanted them to understand money. And when they're young, you're trying to teach them to count. And what better way to count than to use money? And so I was teaching them to count, and we were using the money game. But there is a game that I've been working on for a very long time. And the game is really, it's almost about life. It's almost like a life game because some of us have had hiccups in the road. And when you look at regular games, they don't talk about hiccups in the road. When you look at Monopoly, you look at life, you look at chance, they talk about stuff that happens to people who may not look like us. So I wanted a game that really talked about if you get pulled over and it costs $150
to get out for bail,
how you gonna get out?
Is it worth it?
I'll do it for the entire year. I'm so happy.
Right.
And people think I'm strange, but I'm so happy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the next question we have is from a young man. He says, at age 25 with no experience on investing or house ownership, how was making the decision of choosing to invest in your future compared to enjoying your 20s, in quotations, or partying with friends?
Well, what I would say is that my life was a little bit different because when you're 14 and you have a child,
right,
that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And at 14, you know, as I was having children, I had the type of mother that says, I'm not watching those kids. I will watch your kids if you go to work and you go to school. Anything else, it's not going to happen. So I didn't start knowing about going out or any of those things because that wasn't the track I was on. I'm a mom. I'm 21 years old. At 18, I moved from Michigan to Milwaukee to go to college. Went to college for one semester. A year later, out on my own. That wasn't the thing, but I knew what I did not want to do. I knew I didn't want to live under somebody else. I knew that I wanted us to have our own. And so that was my motivation, that we're going to figure it out. My son and I figured out how to do electrical work. What I will tell you that is really important for you to turn off that power before you start working on it, because that can be painful.
Yes, it can be dangerous.
But we lived. He's okay now. He's okay. But my goal was always to take care of I've never been a kid, let me say that. And so my goal was always I have children to take care of. It's just me and my babies. It's just me and my baby. So I have children to take care of, and that's my responsibility. So it wasn't, you know, I didn't even know that people went out. I always thought when you went out and you drank, I couldn't understand the concept, because you're drinking and it's coming out of you. So you just paid for something to come out of you. And no, seriously, I really in my mind thought it doesn't make practical sense that I'm spending money on something that I'm not getting a long-term benefit for. So, you know, I'm a lot more, I have fun now. That I'm, you know, that I'm almost 60. I have fun now. But then I had kids to take care of, and it was just me. It wasn't me and somebody else. Those kids were my responsibility. So, yeah. I'm fun now, though.
Well, I really like what you said, because this is something that I thought about recently. I think that as kids and when we're much younger, we know either one or two things. We either know what we want to be, but I think most of us know much more strongly what we don't want to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you having identified, I don't want to live under somebody else, or I don't want to have somebody else put me out, that was a real driver for you. I know for me, I had a similar concept. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I just knew I didn't want to be an adult that complained about money or that complained about my job.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up, I saw so much of it, so much stress, so much tension, so much not knowing, that I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to be like that. So, yeah, I think it's either you know what you do want to do, or you know I'm not going to end up like that.
Yeah, my kids will tell you that my mom goes to work. That's what they know about me. They're like, my mother goes to work. My mother goes to work. I've been an asthmatic since I was 3 years old. Had lead poisoning when I was 3. Left me with asthma. My oldest sister right next to me, she died from lead poisoning. So we were both eating paint in the projects of Chicago. And so my grandparents were sharecroppers. And so coming from all of that, I just knew what I did not want. And being the baby with babies, there's this perception that you're going to be the one who always is in need. And I was not going to be that person that was in need. Never was going to be that person.
And that's a powerful driver. That's a powerful driver. And that goes to Ayomi's point in terms of a burning desire of what you knew what you did not want to be,
mm-hmm.
based upon what you saw. Well, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up. Anything you'd like to share, or how can people reach out to you so that they can continue the conversation? Because I think you have been an inspirational My Investing Story presenter this evening, and we've learned a lot. And again, there are people who are listening to the show right now or in the future, because it is evergreen, that will only hear your voice. And then there are people who know people that need to hear your voice.
They're not going to hear my voice or Iota's voice or anybody else we've ever had on this program. They're only going to hear your voice. So if you're open to that, if you can share with our listeners how they can reach you, and if you're open to do that, would be great.
You can reach me at bankonmilwaukee.org, all one word. What I will tell you is, don't be afraid of something that you've never done. Even though I am the baby, and I bought my house when I was fairly young, but I also, my husband and I, we've had 3 or 4 houses. But if I would have said, well, my mom never done it, and I don't know anybody who looks like me who's done it, then I wouldn't have done it at all. And so what I will say is not to be afraid to do something hasn't been done, because you reap the benefits of that sense of accomplishment, and no one can really take that from you. Once you hit that accomplishment, you cool. They can say whatever they want. You went out there, you did it. Even if it doesn't work the first time, that's not the end of the journey. Because as long as you're able to keep it moving, you can make that happen. Whatever that is, you can make it happen. I could have said that, I've got these kids, got these grandkids, but I knew I wanted to go to college. I just knew I wanted to do that because it was an accomplishment for me, more so than anybody else. But then it was like, man, my mom did it. And being an asthmatic, when I was 40, I ran a 5-mile marathon. And keep in mind, coming up, I never took gym, ever took gym, because my asthma was so severe that I didn't start school until I was 9 years old is when I started school, because my asthma was so severe. So when I ran that marathon, being an asthmatic, it's like, oh, look at my mama. Look at my mama. And you want to be able to do stuff that people can say, there she go. Look at my mama. So I encourage you to do what your heart says that you can do.
Well, thank you for that. I do have some closing questions, because there are some grandparents on the call, and they really want some information of what they should be doing. And I know before we went live, we talked very briefly about, some products that your bank does, because your bank is really community centered and focused on giving opportunities, lowering the barriers of entry into banking and building that relationship with a financial institution that you trust. And that even looks like you and is interested in working with you to meet your goals. What are some of the instruments, whether it be the UGMA, whether it be opening up a 529 plan, whether it be, what are the things that grandparents specifically can try to set their second generation up for success with?
Well, definitely the 529 plans are a really great tools to use, because anyone can contribute to that, and all you need to do is have your child's name and social security number, and you can open that account. That money is tax deferred, and so, you can do that. There is what's called ABLE accounts, and ABLE accounts are for people with disabilities. Because a lot of times when young people are disabled, people are concerned about, I can't save any money for them. I can't put any money away, because if I do, it's going to affect their benefits. So with ABLE accounts, it allows you to put money up to $3,000 in an account every year for your disabled child. And so, again, that helps. Looking at non-custodial accounts are accounts where the youth is the one in charge of the account. Now, everyone may not think that's a good idea, but start with something. Start with a savings account. Because one of the things that we talk about is that if you can teach children and young people that when you get money, you don't have to spend every dime that you get, let's talk about, let's put some in savings. Let's invest some. Let's put something for tomorrow. Because if you don't want children to live paycheck to paycheck, you have to teach them to save, plan, and wait. And so having something as simple as a savings account. My great-grandson, he's 13 months old, and you can't see it, but I bought a coin. He likes to put everything in his mouth. So we take that money and we put it in the coin counter, and he enjoys watching the money go down into the coin counter because it's clear. So we're starting a savings account for him, and it's visible. And sometimes you need stuff that's visible, something as simple as that. So you got the 529 plan. You have CDs that you can get for your children. You have money market accounts. You have the ABLE account. You have something as simple as a jar to start with. So but you have to start somewhere. I have one last story. I have one grandson. He is 7. And every time he sees me, he said, "Granny, can I have a dollar?" Every time he sees me. He takes that dollar and he puts that dollar and he saves it because there's something that he wants to buy. And when he gets X amount of dollars, he has enough. And he will not lend you any money. Don't ask him for any money because he's not going to lend you any money. And he'll take his dollar, and he's saving his dollar because there's something that he wants. So I know there's a product that he wants. So what we're going to do is figure out, what does that stock look like for that product that you like so much? Let's kind of figure that out. Since you're already tight with my money, let's kind of figure out what that looks like. And so those are the things that, you know, find something that everybody can relate to. But even if you start with a jar, kids like to see all of that money in the jar. That is so cool for them.
And it's so underrated now that we all use credit cards and, you know, you don't even write checks anymore when you go to the grocery store. And that impacts kids' perception of money because they're not seeing it anymore.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what I would encourage grandparents to do, you know, have them put that money to the side. It won't kill them. They'll be okay. They may cry a little bit, but they'll be all right. Tears are good for you.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Constance. I really appreciated your story, your journey, and you sharing with us your expertise, you working with Bank on Milwaukee and the great financial products that are offered, and just sharing that with everybody because we like to have people on that can share their investing story, their money story, their growth story within their own personal finances. But I think it's also important that they know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Feel inspired, but feel inspired and move to action with some concrete accounts or financial products that are not predatory. You know, it really worked for you if you just start to learn things like interest and, you know, what is a CD? What do I have to do? You know, what's liquidity and how does that factor into growth and all of that stuff? So thank you for showing both of those.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This has been so cool. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Well, we want to just thank everybody for tuning in to our My Investing Story and helping all of us learn how and why to invest as we listen to and participate in Constance Albert's story. We also want to remind you that we are volunteers. Ione and I, and many of us on the line, are volunteers with Better Investing. And Better Investing was established in 1951 as a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. And the organization has helped over 5 million people from all walks of life learn how to improve their financial position in life by utilizing investment clubs and successful tools on, that teach us for our own personal investing and our group investing how to analyze and how to invest in stocks. And you're looking at being able to buy partial shares. Many of our investment clubs, we start investing with an amount as simple as a $20 bill. That's another story for another day. But it's whatever you decide. And Iona, before we wrap up, if you can share a little information about the stock market game and also possibly a little information about the stock market game in terms of what we're looking to do that you're already involved in and any information you'd like to share about our chapter.
Sure. So first of all, I'm one of the coordinators for the pilot program for the stock market game, and Ms. Constance was a great guest for us last week in our office hours and was able to share some pertinent information, especially for the youth in Milwaukee and Madison and the greater Wisconsin area. This is the last week of the stock market game. It's a 10-week opportunity for students and adult advisors to learn about investing. World-renowned curriculum, 10-week curriculum created by one of the economics professor emeritus from University of Wisconsin, and we've been walking through that with videos and discussion questions to just engage in the learning process of what is investing, what are capital markets, what are stocks, what are bonds, what are mutual funds, and just what is time value of money, what is compound interest. Just walking through all of these concepts and allowing for the students within their small groups of no more than five students a team to invest $100,000. $100,000 over a 10-week period of time, what are they going to do with it? And we've had some really great results. We've had them, we didn't have them do anything. They decided to buy, to sell, to try different strategies. Some we realized were afraid of that type of money and were kind of paralyzed in making decisions. So I think a lot of things came out of this this experience, and it ends on Friday. After it ends, we will rank the teams, and there will be cash prizes. What I put into the chat is our capstone ceremony. If you are interested in attending, it is free to attend. We would love for you to be a part of our community and come out and support us. It's going to be Tuesday, August 25th at 6:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Central Time. And you're going to be able to hear from some of the students and their experiences, some of the advisors and their experiences, and get an overall sense of why we are investing in our communities, really under the umbrella of financial literacy in communities of color, because we want to educate our kids and do that by exposure. That's why we're investing in this game. That's why we're investing our time and our resources in them, because just like Ms. Constance shared, you know, we want to bridge the gap between what our parents and grandparents didn't know to where we want to be and the stepping stones that we want our children and grandchildren to springboard from. After that, if you are interested, there is going to be a Better Investing Roundtable. That's Tuesday, August 25th at 8:30. That link is also in the chat here. And then next week, there's going to be a three-day event, all in the evening, all Thursday evening, Friday evening, and then Saturday afternoon. They have a special session that I've signed up for. It's called Finance for Women Between 40 and 60. And that's the Better Investing Georgia Investor Fair, August 27th to the 29th. And that is also in the chat. So feel free to click those links have them open up in your internet browser so that you can register for them later, sign up. And then once you register, you'll get the email confirmation. All of this stuff is free. So we really appreciate if you could join us in our continued investment education journey. We like to provide quality information, but also connect with quality resources so that we can be informed investors, informed and active in our own financial freedom. Lastly, I'm the vice president of the South Florida chapter of Better Investing, and we are starting a model investing club. Our first public meeting is going to be on Saturday, September 5th. You can find out more information about that on the betterinvesting.org website. Just check out the South Florida chapter. But if you are living in any other area, feel free to find the chapter in your area, because all of us are doing online events, and we're really excited to have new people, because a lot of us, like we had last week Larry Reno on, he was able to retire at 55. And, you know, being able to share those strategies and share that reality with people, he's going to be mailing me a shirt. I plan to be retiring in the next 10 years. But it's all because I have been exposed to this information and decided to stick with it, because I think that we can all become free one person at a time. So.
And how old will you be in 10 years, Ione?
40.
All right. We want to make sure also we have given you a lot of information, lots of information. So, Michelle, if you can also put this information in the chat on Facebook for those individuals who may come back and they want to find out about a lot of what was shared tonight. We want to continue to thank you, Constance. You've been a phenomenal guest. I cannot say enough about that. And we want to also encourage our listeners, Better Investing still has the 90-day free membership on the website. So if you go to betterinvesting.org, a lot of information that Ione shared, you can find on that website. If you go to the website, at the very bottom of that front page, you will see a 90-day free membership. And for any reason, if you miss the 90 days, the membership is less than $100. You cannot buy this information. And we are all volunteers. We work for you, yes, for free. Free is good. Free is good. If you'd like to join us in our Facebook group for our chapter, Better Investing, South Florida chapter, you can go to Facebook. We'll take you from anywhere in the world. We'll welcome you into our Facebook group. And in that group, we will share in the units and in the events. A lot of this information we're sharing now, if for any reason you missed it or you know, you don't want to be scrolling and all of those things, we're here to serve you. Better Investing has served Ione and I for over 40 years. And you heard her say that in 10 years she'll be 40. So you can imagine what age she started, less than 10, when we all started investing together. And so, again, on behalf of all the volunteers throughout Better Investing, Ione and I want to thank you for joining us every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for our hashtag, My Investing Story, where every week our desire is to bring you another awesome guest. And I think that you would agree with us again tonight that we have had another phenomenal guest. All right, and if everybody else is clear, Ione and Constance, any other questions or comments before we wrap up? And anybody? No? Great.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, and we will see you next week. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Goodbye.